Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. This is Rob Roark of Texas saying howdy and how are you? And it's another half hour of, simply putting it, we like to talk a little politics. That's how we're going to say it. Now, we always will. You know, the thing is, we also like to hear what you have to say. Because that's what really matters to us. So if you want to call in, give us, here's the number at 718-664-9825. A little bit of Eye of the Tiger in the background. Yes, that's the theme from Rocky III. But I also think it's a message that makes sense. We are all facing struggles every day and challenges every day. We got to survive. And there are some of us out here just making ends meet. And Washington doesn't understand that. The challenge of paying our bills. The challenge of budgeting a run to the grocery store. And I do work at a grocery store, not too far away. And it is amazing to hear people talk about the price of food going up and up and up. And if you think about it, where we all may have remembered at one time seeing a grocery cart stacked to the hilt, not even costing $100, costing our parents not even $100. But it filled our pantries for a long time. Today, half that is $100. What's wrong with that picture? That's a question we can ask at Washington. And that's why I'm here. Do they understand our challenges? And one of those challenges I've been talking about and will continue to talk about is that of education. As part of my campaign to unseat Pete Olson, hi Pete, the whole idea is to make some reforms in education. You know, if you think about it, first thing we need to do is redefine the status of the Department of Education. We need to take the bureaucracy out of it. We need to take the politics out of education, period, out of the classrooms. That's the overall idea. Let teachers teach. The thing is, our first objective is to redefine the Department of Education to that of a general government office or an office of education, the OOE, compared to the DOE. Now, for those who remember LBJ, I'm not trying to threaten his status as far as how he felt about education. What a lot of people don't understand is when we go forward, changes are going to have to be made to keep it relevant. But if you think about it, the Department of Education, and there have been many politicians since and before Johnson that said, shut it down. Because it's not effective. I disagree. I agree with the idea that it's an issue of states' rights, but I think the government, the federal government, has to have some outreach to it. Make to ensure that schools stay open, that standards are held as far as a national basis, and to make sure we actually stand tall amongst the other nations of the world. You know, we can make a new difference by putting opinion, by debating ideas like this. And if you want to debate this idea, let's talk. The number to call in is 718-664-9825. You know, like I said, when we want to redefine the idea of the DOE to that as a OOE, the Office of Education. The idea is that if you think about it, every time we elect a new president, yes, there is an overall new agenda. But if you think about it, we have now Race to the Front, a program based on the Obama administration. We had before that No Child Left Behind. Well, there were a lot of issues on No Child Left Behind that are still basically ridiculous. You know, Mr. Obama's idea of Common Core, that's problematic. So you see, if we redefine them, and if you add this to the mix, every time there's a new administration elected, every time there's a new agenda presented, if one child slips through the cracks, one child drops out because they don't understand, they're not getting it, and that's one too many. So let's talk about education. Let's talk about some of the ideas. Make it a general government office. Give the department, the Office of Education, a single objective, and that is to build a single framework of education. And that education will be basically a redefining, or going back to a revisiting of basic educational standards. A curriculum that teaches the fundamental skills of mathematics and discourages the idea of use of calculators in elementary school. Health books that uphold standards of traditional Americanism. My favorite is, and because I'm a history buff, history curriculums that are standards that emphasize patriotism, the free enterprise, our founding fathers, founding documents like the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And for those who with a more scientific nature, science textbooks that encourage students to think, ask, and predict. Let them have more increased lab time and present evolution as a theory, not as a fact. You know, these standards can be passed down to the states, who can then pass them on to the local school districts, and then allow the teachers to implement them. Because the teacher is the backbone of the educational system of this country. We need to put good teachers and allow them to teach. Basically, allow them to teach. That's the thing. We have so much. Think about education in this country. When I say take the politics out of education, what we have in Washington as far as reason why some people say, are the opinion that education doesn't work, there's so much bureaucracy in it. I got a little notice of something. Just a second. Well, folks, the idea is we want to put education first. We want to put the education of our children first. And how do we do that? We find a way to get the teachers the tools they need to do the job. A single set of standards approved by federal on down. Trickle-down education, one could call it. And the idea is we need to push it forward, and we need to put an idea out there for debate. That's something Congress does not do, is debate the issues anymore. They go and say, it's not my fault, it's theirs, which is not right. You know, where do you stand, Pete? That's a question you need to ask right now for those of us in the 22nd district. Where do you stand? Is it the voucher system? That is very problematic. And it sounds like it is also very bureaucratic. Or do we need something different? Let's debate these ideas. Talk them out. And find common ground. That's the idea. find common ground. Because is this the answer? That's not the answer. It may be part of the puzzle, the missing puzzle piece. Because, you know, as I'm being a little sidetracked here, especially with the Air Force flying over from Ellington, I salute you guys. The point is, folks, we need to do something to make sure our kids, our children, get a proper education. And that they are challenged. I mean, you know, think about it. Their achievement test. Every year they take a week of testing. And there have been so many rumors out there, or so many points of reference that say the teachers, the schools are teaching the students the test. Students who were interviewed for on surveys were calling the test too easy. I remember recalling listening to a report, I believe it was Channel 2 News, and they were talking about the week of school testing. A comment was made on air that their child considered it a week of vacation. That's not challenging, folks. Well, hey, let's get back to this. You know, we're talking about testing. You know, instead of every year, let's stagger them from K through 12. Start at the fourth grade level because the child's going to be nearing middle school soon. At the eighth grade level because they're going to be going into high school soon. And when they reach their senior year in high school because they're about to graduate. Hopefully, all those parents will think, going to college. Maybe he can get a job, a student loan. Work your way through school. Or if you can get a scholarship, it's because you studied, you earned it. But you keep up the pace, you keep up the practice, and you keep up the challenge. My thing is also is in the testing. We need, I feel, and I could be wrong. If there are any teachers out there that are listening, please give me a holler at 718-664-9825 and tell me what you think about this. I think maybe we should also teach our students how to take tests. You know, introduce the idea of matching tests to kindergarten or pre-K. Then first or fourth, multiple choice, true and false, fill in the blanks. Just have a basic intro session on what to do. Spelling test, you tell them to study the spelling words. And then you give them a spelling test, which is really simple. But to go and say, show kids to challenge them. That's the idea. What can we do about it? We can teach them how to take tests. We can teach them to show their work as far as what they've achieved as far as not as in knowledge. And we can make sure they keep going forward. So, hey, we got just over 15 minutes. And I just want to say again, if you've got a question, you got a thought, please call. That's 718-664-9825. And remember, we like to talk a little politics. But we also like to hear what you have to say. Because quite frankly, that's what matters to us. And you know, on a little side note, we're going to be here tomorrow. We're going to be talking about education again. We're going to be talking about a few other things. But I'm looking into the idea of doing a recap show in the evening hours from about like 10:30 and see what we can do there. Be a short 15-minute little, hey, how are you? Just want to get in touch with you before you go fall asleep. But we just want to recap things that have been talked about. So let's look at another topic. Did you know that there are 24 studies have shown that 24.7 million children are raised without both parents in their lives? I'll admit, I'm a divorced dad. I'll also admit I was that naive to trust a system that, while blind, would be fair. I lost custody of my daughter. I was forced into a position where I lost custody. I gave up custody. But that doesn't mean that I should be seeking out, advocating for change, doing something about it, and being a voice for fathers out there. You know, we talk about family values, and it was once said, and hopefully I'm at least paraphrasing this correctly, it takes a village to raise a family. Well, how do we define that village? Can we define it as a city? Or is the family itself? I said we had to define it as a family. And the family that takes care of family. That's family values. The only problem is that the bigger picture, if you talk about that little village, which is the family, and then the divorce happens, more responsibility is extended outward. And when the court system looks at it and says, and the thing is, folks, what they have forgotten. And when I say 24.7 million children, that's one in three. Let me quote some stats. One in three children are without a father in their lives, or at least one of the parents. Equal support by both families. Say that way. Equal support by both members, mama and papa. A study in the Daily Mail from Britain, dated 12/26/2012, came up with the same information. The Washington Times, Christmas Day. I love it. Same year, but one article cited, the Washington Times report came out on Christmas Day. Perfect timing, don't you think? And the one in England came out the day after. You can look back to 2009 at the census, and you can look this up, census.gov/prod/page 70-126. It's a PDF. And here's another one, 2006 to 2010 at www.fatherhood.gov/library/dads-stats, Department of Health and Human Services. These reports have indicated that the ones that are losing when it comes to family court issues are the children. Simply put it, there's one connection there. What's in the best interest of the children? And that's what we've been, you know, I have worked on this ever since I got back to Texas in 2007. And I've been advocating for it. Just recently in the state legislature, House Bill 2363 passed its initial vote in its committee and was and died in the calendar committee. Well, I don't look at it as a loss. I kind of look at it this way. And to paraphrase the words of Bob Phillips, this time the door opens. Next time, we're going to make sure that door stays open. So let's get to, you know, family courts is issues of, again, an issue of states' rights. But with Title 4D of the Social Security Act, there are some things that can be done on the federal level. And I say don't tell the states what to do, but help at least encourage them to look at the idea of revisiting things like what's in the best interest of the child. And quite frankly, that should be looked upon as saying both parents equally responsible for their children. So we're gonna propose this as an idea before to be debated in Congress, or to be debated by you all. Pardon. This is something to be debated by you all, as you choose the person that will sit in Congress in the 22nd district in November, with your vote in November 2016. The standard deduction for an income tax for child support by a custodial parent is $3,950 each year. The non-custodial parent is not allowed to take that same deduction. A little research, as in those four studies, shows that there's a problem. Also, a little research has asked, what do you think about a 50-50 split of the standard deduction for child support payments received and paid, as in both custodial and non-custodial parents get a deduction of roughly $1,950. I don't have a calculator with me, but I'm making that a general assumption because I did it one other time and I forgot where I put the paper. No, but let's be serious. The irony of it is a portion of this response came from women. It was a majority of the response came from women that agreed. They agreed on a 50-50 split of the deduction makes sense. So we're going to propose legislation to be introduced as a tax reform, a split down the middle of the 39-50 standard deduction that would to allow both parents to take half that as a deduction on their income tax, half of that amount as a deduction on their income tax. Instead of paying one, getting a deduction for $39.50, both get a 50% deduction of that $39.50 on their income tax. That's what we propose, and that's what we're looking to ask. What do you think? What do you think? Let's debate this. You know, the election is next November. I'm putting up front what I'm going to do, what I'm going to talk about, and what I'm going to debate to you. We want to go redefine education in this country. We want to go encourage the states to rethink their position on what's in the best interest of the child when it comes to children of divorce, and talk about where they fit in the idea of family values. Well, this is, you know, for this, when it comes to family court and family values, family court system, it's not a, one has to say this to the family courts, it's not a game of one-upsmanship. Because it's not custodial versus non-custodial and who wins or loses and who loses between them. It's because the ones that lose are the children. The influence of their fathers and anger and frustration with both sides, basically. Questions asked, answers not given. I was a child of divorce. I was brought up to believe my father was the second coming of Darth Vader, for lack of better description. And all I found out was a man with a character. And I learned a lot. I learned to respect the man and his memory. As I've sift through a lot of things that he said as to whether they were true facts or just a simple old yarn spun for my benefit. He was truthful to me. Some of the things I was kind of shocked at. But the point is, he was my father. I didn't hate him. And then my thing is, I don't hate anybody. I may not have respect for them, but I'll say one thing. He gained a lot of respect with me. And that's something right there. He was a character, yes. He was a character. But that's not the point is, he was still my dad, my pop. And grandfather to his daughter's children, his stepson's child, even to my daughter. Overall, he was a good man. He had a lot of tales to tell, but that's for another time. He made me wonder about a lot of things. And all I can do right now is just sit back, and I think the best opinion is to laugh at it. Laugh, not at him, but what was said. Because he created a lot of lines and a lot of tales. Were they true? I don't care. Because that was him. I was describing him. And I'll always say that sounds like something Pop would say. And that's how I remember it. But hey, we're getting near the end. We're going to be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. We'll talk a little bit more about things in general. Rehash a little more on education. Hopefully somebody will call. Remember, folks, the number is 718-664-9825. So please call. You got an opinion. Give me a shout-out. Shoot me an email at Rob, that's R-O-B-B, at Rob Rourke, R-O-U-R-K-E.us. Please shoot me an opinion. Give me a call here. So let's do what we can. Let's make a new difference. Let's make a new difference and show people, not just of Texas, but of the world, that America does count. America is a place to be proud of. And America is a great country. Because we can call ourselves this or that, but one thing defines us, one word defines us, and that's a belief in freedom. So with less than a minute and a half to go, thank you, my darling. That was the 90-second warning. I just want to send a shout-out to a little lady in Northern Virginia. Shortcake. Hopefully you are listening. I just want you to know I miss you very much. And your Papa Rob will always love you and always want what's best for you. And I love you too, darling. So, folks, with less than a minute to go, we're going to start signing off by saying, y'all come back now. You hear? Now, that's Rob Rourke of Texas. We'll be back on tomorrow, so please do come back. Let's talk. Because, frankly, we want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear what your opinion is, because that's what matters to us. Please do call. So enjoy the day, folks. It is going to be a hot one from what I can tell. I'm going to right now go get up from here, turn the computer off, and go check out my motorcycle to see if I put the screw in back correctly, because I've had a little bit of a bike problem, and I think I fixed it. Bye. Okay, where do we go? End episode.